Who has read this book? It says, "This is my request," by Srila Prabhupada. His divine grace. Inspiration quotes on book distribution from the conversation, lectures, and writings of His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Bolo Srila Prabhupada ki. So I'm going to read today from this particular book, and then I will give you several stories, couple of stories concerning the book distribution. So, in honor of this month's Gita Jayanti, and encourage all the devotees and all the assembled guests here for the last leg of our Gita book distribution marathon, I'm going to read with Srila Prabhupada what Srila Prabhupada wrote in this book about book distribution. So, this one is the, it says, Srila Prabhupada says, it is a letter to German, one of the German disciples on May 6, 1977. Now you see all this Bhagavad Gita books here, right? We still have how many days we still have? No? No? We still continue, even though, you know, we have this Gita marathon, Gita Jayanti marathon, we can still continue distributing the books. It's an our constitutional position. That's our job. Continuously we can. Be assured that there is no more direct way to preach than to distribute Krishna conscious books. Whoever gets a book is benefited. If he reads the book, he is benefited still more. Or if he gives the book to someone else for reading, both he and the other person is benefited. Even if one does not read the book, but simply holds it, this is Bhagavad Gita, just for holding the book, holds it and sees it, he or she is benefited. And I have a wonderful story about this one. This happened several years ago in Mumbai. If he simply gives small donation towards work of Krishna consciousness, he is benefited. And anyone who distributes this transcendental literatures, he is also benefited. So it's a win-win-win situation. Everybody gets benefit out of this. Therefore, Sankirtan is the prime benediction of the age. What is this age? Age of Kali. Quarrel and hypocrisy. This is this age. So, I have a nice story about how powerful and potent Srila Prabhupada books are. How this lady's life, you know, saved by Srila Prabhupada book. Who would like to hear that story? Then everybody has say, Hari Bol! So I heard this story, by the way, by a devotee who was describing about books distribution during his Bhagavatam class in the morning in Jew Temple, Mumbai Jew Temple. So this, during Gita's marathon, this happened in Mumbai. So what happened, one brahmachari went to one of the suburbs of Mumbai, outskirts of Mumbai, and in that one apartment complex he went and he knocked on the door. What he did? Knocked on the door to sell that, to give that, distribute that Bhagavad Gita. So there was no answer. So again he knocked on the door. Still no answer. But he was very determined that, you know, to this particular apartment I need to sell this, give this Bhagavad Gita, whosoever comes out from that apartment. So the third time he knocked little harder, very hard. So after a few moments, you know, one lady came, she opened the door. What do you want? She was very mad and very upset at this brahmachari, young brahmachari, who was wearing, brahmachari you understand, right? Who was wearing saffron clothes, right? Saffron robe. And she was angry also. Soon, you know, she saw this brahmachari with, you know, and in India, whenever you see a saffron cloth, you know, they respect you. So, even though she was very upset and angry that who was knocking on my door. Soon she saw this young brahmachari with saffron robe, with Bhagavad Gita in his hand, and this aggressive brahmachari, he went inside, you know. So he saw, and then she invited him, so he went inside, and then he sat down. As soon as he hold the book, and immediately our young brahmachari, he gave this book, and it passed it on to her. So as soon as she held that book, you know, book, she sat down on a chair, and that this brahmachari can see that her mood has changed, and she's become calmed down, right? And then he started preaching to her. Now, you know how they've been taught, you know, that, you know, as soon as... So this young brahmachari was new to the movement, and his superior said that, you know, he said that, you know, what I'm going to preach, you know, said, don't worry, just read chapter number 2, Bhagavad Gita, of chapter number 2, well, Krishna explains Arjun that you need to, we are not this body, we are the spirit soul, body doesn't die, the spirit soul is eternal, and na hanyata hanyamane sarire, this body dies, but this, we are eternal, part and parcel of Krishna. So this young brahmachari started preaching to this lady. So she started become, you know, sober and calmed down. And he started talking, and then they were exchanging. But the point is, as soon as she held that book, Bhagavad Gita, she became very sober, and then she became, her life or her mood changed. How? She said that, you know, why I was mad at you, and what I was doing, why it took so long, you know, to answer the door. Then she took him, that young brahmachari, into another room, saying that, look at that. There was a ceiling fan, and then there was a rope. There was a rope, and then there was a table, and on the table there was a small stool, and she was about to commit suicide. She was about to commit suicide, you know, so she was going to hang herself in that rope. That rope was tied to the ceiling fan. So the point is, but because she held the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's book, her hand, the potency of that book changed the course of her life. The potency of that book, this Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada, what Prabhupada says, even both and other person, when even if one does not read the book, but simply holds it and sees it, he or she gets benefited. This is what Prabhupada says. So this is what happened, and then she's still alive, by the way. I didn't get a chance to meet her, but she's still alive, and she visits regularly to Jew temple in Mumbai. And I'm sure, you know, one of these days she become a devotee, and she also will start distributing the books. So the point, what the point I'm making here is just by looking at the book, holding the book, we get the benefit. And that is a very classic example. Bolo Srila Prabhupada, transcendental book distribution ki. Yeah. We still have so many days, okay, Prabhu? No, 1 or 2 days. We have so many years to sell this book. So let's get all benefited by distributing, talking about this book, this transcendental literature, as Prabhupada always says, preaching means book distribution. See, Prabhupada says in another one, he says, the main thing is to distribute books more and more. This is letter to Balwanta on October 4th, 1976. And then he says, preaching means book distribution. It is a room conversation in Bombay,
December 31st, 1976. So that is during that marathon in 1976. So I was other day I was talking to Suhas Prabhu, but before that I would like to read one more thing here from Srila Prabhupada. This is a letter to Bhagwan on 24th November 1970. Sorry, this is another one. This is what I would like to read. There is no comparison, Prabhupada writes, a letter to a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam on first canto, 16th chapter, verse number 8, in Los Angeles, here in Los Angeles, on January 5th, 1974. So what Prabhupada is, he was giving a lecture, he said, there is no comparison, there is no literature throughout the universe like Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no comparison, there is no competition. Every word is for the good of the human society. Every word, each and every word. Therefore, we stress so much in the book distribution. Somehow or other, if the book goes in one's hand, he shall be benefited. At least he will see, oh, I have taken so much prize, let me see what is there. If he reads one sloka, his life will be successful. If he reads one sloka, one word, this is such a nice thing. Therefore, we are stressing so much. Please distribute book, distribute book, distribute book. A greater mridanga. We are chanting, you know, this Kamal Prabhu, he was playing mridanga. Greater mridanga, we are chanting, playing our mridanga. It is heard within this room, right? Or little more. But this mridanga, distribution of books, will go home to home, country to country, community to community. This mridanga. This is the book distribution Prabhupada was talking about. So, you know, I was talking to Suhas Prabhu. Prabhu, the clock is right there, huh? So please, somebody give me some 10 minutes warning. Kamal, can you do that? So I was talking to Suhas Prabhu last Sunday, and he told me that this year book distribution, he just announced, right? He says this year's distribution marathon was very successful. He surpassed that 20,000 goal, right? 20,000 Bhagavad Gita, right? He was very happy. He was very in ecstatic mood, you know, last Sunday. Not only he was successful, it was because he had a successful marathon, but also he was able to fulfill his spiritual master's desire, the spiritual master's order. What Prabhupada says is, please distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. He said three times, repeatedly. So Suhas Prabhu was very happy, our temple president. He was in great mood last week. And of course, he is still in a great mood because he was able to please his spiritual master. Like Prabhupada says that, you know, that he was very much firm, affixed in his Guru Maharaj words. His Guru Maharaj says, when you get a chance, when you have money, print these books. So that's what Prabhupada did. And he was pleased, his Guru Maharaj. Now Krishna also says in the same thing that who wants to be the dearmost to him? Who would like to be the dearmost to him? Come on, come on, come on. Only few people? You are in the wrong place, Prabhuji and Mataji. No. Who would like to be a dear most for Krishna? Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And what he's saying? Again, this is a letter to Bhagwan on 24th November 1970. Yes, we are fighting impersonalism and voidism with pure devotional service. Impersonalism and voidism kills the natural aptitude of devotion which is lying dormant in everyone's heart. Therefore, we are printing books like our Krishna book and other books so that people may know it, that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person. It's a very, very important point here. He is a person. The perfection of every living creature is to render transcendental loving service to that Supreme Person and thereby go back home, back to Godhead. Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita that whoever explains my transcendental glories to others is most dear to me in this world, and never will there be one more dear to me than he. So Krishna said, who is it? The most dear. So how we can attain Krishna's mercy by being his transcendental loving servant and become most dear to him? What is he saying? Whoever explains my transcendental glories to others. Krishna spoke. This is Bhagavad Gita. This is spoken by Krishna, Bhagavan. Bhagavan means he possesses six opulences. Bhagavan, so this is called Song of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is Song of Krishna. So, the one who transcendental glories, explains my transcendental glories, he is the most dear to me in this world. So what Prabhupada said, preaching is means book distribution. He's one who transcendental glories to others, that means one who preaches, means preaching. And here Prabhupada says, preaching means distributing books. So by distributing Krishna's books and Prabhupada's books, we can become most dear servant of Krishna. So, now what Krishna has to say, he is reciting this following verses to Arjuna about his song, about this Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna that this is in Vaishnaviya Tantra Sar. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Gita me Hridayam Partha, Gita me Saram Uttamam, Gita me Gnanam Ati Ugram, Gita me Gnanam Avyayam. The Supreme Lord said, O Partha, the Gita is my heart, the Gita is my supreme essence, and Gita is intense, imperishable knowledge of me. This is Krishna is talking to Arjuna. And this Vaishnaviya Tantra Sar, there is another scripture. The Gita is my supreme shelter. The Gita is my supreme abode. The Gita is my most hidden treasure. And especially the Gita is my supreme guru. I am present within the Gita, and the Gita is my supreme residence. Only by the knowledge of Gita do I maintain the three worlds. I am present within Gita. So if we hold that book, Krishna is present with us. He is with us. Know without a doubt that the eternally ineffable Gita as my other self is my supreme wisdom of the absolute personified. So there are 700 slokas in Bhagavad Gita. Out of that 700 slokas, one was spoken by Dhritarashtra, the first sloka. 41 slokas spoken by Sanjaya. He is the one who describing the battlefield of Kurukshetra to Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Dhritarashtra. And then 84 slokas were spoken by Arjun. By the way, there is no name as Arjuna. This is only Arjun is the name. And 570 slokas spoken by Lord Krishna himself in 700. This is a part of Mahabharata. Anyway, now we want to be the most dear to Krishna, so what we need to do is distribute, give this knowledge to the others. Like Srila Prabhupada said, preaching means distributing books, right? So Prabhupada has a firm faith in the holy name, and firm faith in his books. and his words of his Guru Maharaj, his spiritual master. There's one real thing, story, who would like to hear that? It happened again in Mumbai. I don't know whether it happened in Mumbai or not, but it is a real story. So, still loudly. Together, Hari Bol! Okay. This is a story about one Brahmana who regularly, so I'm going to read this, the whole story, so you'll get some nice understanding. There is one story, one Brahmana who regularly studied Bhagavad Gita. His name was Arjuna Mishra. He was poor and lived with his wife in a small cottage. After daily studying Bhagavad Gita, he would spend time in writing commentary on Gita. Are we on that cottage right now? Where are we right now in our mind? Physically we are here, but in mind where we are? Somewhere in India. I don't know where this happened, I don't know. But somewhere in the India, maybe in Puri. Who said Puri? Yeah, maybe, I don't know. So, he was studying Bhagavad Gita, and he would spend time in writing commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, then he would go to beg and alms, and in this way he maintained himself and his wife. He lives in a very small cottage. Thus their time passed blissfully, and they were not at all least disturbed by their situation. Okay? They were very poor, but they were not least disturbed by their situation. As he was reading Bhagavad Gita one day, he came across a verse in the 9th chapter, verse number 22. You mean to read that? Ananyas chintayanto ma ye jana paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. The translation of this particular verse is, but those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, what they don't have, and I preserve what they have. So this is in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says to Arjun, hey Arjun, I will take that thing, that person, the person who has exclusive devotion and meditating on my transcendental form. Transcendental form of whom? Krishna. Venu kvanantam aravinda dalaya takshad barhavatam samasitam budasundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha sobam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. That transcendental form, that he is wearing a peacock feather, he has a nice wonderful garland, and he is wearing a yellow dhoti, and he is bending in a three form. Like, look at that wonderful, beautiful Krishna, he looks like, right? How many people agree that he is so beautiful? He is all attractive. Jai Hari Bol, loudly. Why he's become so attractive? Because Radharani is next to him. Right? And he's playing flute. So that transcendental form of Lord Shri Krishna, that we have to meditate upon. So he said in this 9th chapter, verse number 22, where Lord Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I will personally carry and deliver the needs of my devotees. I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. When he read this verse, he became puzzled and doubtful and thought, how is that Bhagwan, Lord Shri Krishna, personally carries and delivers the needs of his devotees? So he was questioning that because of his situation. He was, even though he was very blissful, but when he read that verse, he was thinking, he had little doubt in his mind. And he thought, how is it possible? He may inspire someone to carry out the needs of the devotee, such as giving charity, etc. But how Bhagwan personally delivers the needs of some seems impossible for him. So his mind become perplexed and with a grave problem, then he was unable to resolve in any way. He could not resolve that thought. But he was a learned Brahmana, mind well. Reading the verse again and again, the Brahmana could not believe it is so. He crossed out the line of that verse with a red pen in thinking it a mistake. Okay? He was a learned Brahmana, but he said, it's not possible. Afterward, he went to perform his daily begging. So he went to go for and ask for the alms to different houses. The day everyone offered, now, you know, yogakshemam vahamyam. Now, I was thinking, while I was reading this, I was thinking, you know, that Krishna, look at that, Krishna is so merciful. He provides all our needs. Isn't it true? Yes or no? Yes, right? He provides how? I tell you, give you an example. The basic needs, he gives it free. Prabhu and Mataji's, he gives it free. Yeah. So I breathe this, so many cubic feet or whatever, you know. Do we get any bill from Vayudev, the god of wind, that here you took so much cubic feet of air, here is my bill. The most necessary item is free. Krishna is so merciful. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. Right? If you go to hospital, you know, and they have to give you this oxygen, and then there is a long list of bill, you know, you get 2,000, 3,000, this many bottles of oxygen, you know, when given to you. But Krishna is so merciful. Basic need. Second, see this electricity here? You see this electricity? If you don't pay the bill, what happens? The California, Southern California, whosoever, you know, is here. Oh no, this is Los Angeles utility department. They come and they will cut off that, right? Here, sun god, we took so much of kilowatts, you know, electricity, energy from sun god. Do we get any bill from sun god? That, you know, you took this much electricity, this much kilowatts, energy from me? No. It's Krishna's mercy. Water. Basic necessity, water. In India, of course, I tell you one thing. Now, you know, we are spoiled, you know, so we have this bottled water and we have to pay for it. But 30 years ago, when I was in India, to ask somebody a water, the money for water, that you consider a very big sin. Mataji, you can agree with me, right? Manjari Mataji, you can vouch for me that in India, if you ask for water, money for water, they said, who is this crazy guy? Get out of here. No, never have thought about it. And of course, in India, I was in Vrindavan and I went to a couple of houses, you know, devotees' houses. They have dug their own well and they fetch the water and then it's all free. Water is free. But anyway, now we breathe air, we take oxygen in and we take out carbon dioxide out, right? See how Krishna made a wonderful arrangement. He gave those trees, long, big trees, right? So what they do? Trees does what? Otherwise this world is full of carbon dioxide. Correct? So this is all Krishna's wonderful arrangement. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He provides all our necessity. So this Brahman, let's continue reading the verse again and again and again. He said it is a mistake. Afterwards, he went to perform his daily begging. That day, everyone offered him some excuses rather than give him some alms. Some said, there was a death in the family, so we cannot give you. Others said, that their children were sick, and thus he could not get any alms on that particular day. So he was very miserable. What I'm going to eat now? Now, our most compassionate Lord Krishna, who protects the surrendered soul, he was a surrendered soul, saw, he thought that this, my devotee, that had a doubt had appeared in his mind regarding his words. So what Krishna did? Meanwhile, back in this Brahmana's house, a young boy, very extremely beautiful, with blackish blue bodily hue, arrived and knocked on the door to this Brahmana's house. And the Brahmani, the wife of Brahmana, was inside. And Brahmana's wife answered the door and was surprised to find that the boy was carrying so much big load on his back. This young beautiful boy was carrying so much load on his back. It contained varieties of foodstuffs like rice, lentils, dal, spices, oil, flour, vegetables, etc., etc. You were there at that time? Huh? You were present at that time? Okay. Okay, no. Just kidding. So, and then this boy, you know, claimed to be a disciple of her husband who had sent him to deliver, to deliver these goods to his house. The surprised wife told the boy that her husband had no disciples, so it was not possible that he had sent him with all these items. Who is saying that? The lady, the wife of Brahmana, telling that boy. But the boy insisted, repeating that her husband was his guru and had sent him to deliver these items to his house. The boy also further told her that her husband had become disturbed with him for carrying this load so slowly, and he had thus beat the scratches on his chest. Who did that? Come on. Wake up time. What? Kama? Yeah. Because Brahmana was very upset. So thus he beat and scratched his chest. Indeed, he raised his cloth and showed the Brahmana's wife and the marks on his chest. Okay? Who is showing this? That young boy. Showing to Brahmana's wife. She became surprised that her husband could do such cruel as to beat such a young and beautiful boy. She was really surprised. She told him to sit in the house and so she could cook something to offer him some prasad. What time do we have? Everybody must be hungry. Prasadam time. Still we have time, right? Yeah. While doing so, she constantly gazed upon his beautiful face, thinking, how beautiful his face is. How can a person of such dark color have such an attractive and transcendental beauty? So she was thinking in her mind. You want me to continue? Yes? Then you have to say? Are you getting into this story, right? Is this really, you like the stories? Right? Okay. Then I need to loudly. Okay. Later that day, the Brahmana returned home from his begging attempt empty-handed. He was resolved that he and his wife would have to fast and was feeling very dejected. What is that? What did you say? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. As he came in the presence of his wife, he immediately began scolding him for having made the young boy carries such a heavy load and then beating him for not being able to carry it swiftly. The Brahmana was confused by his wife's behavior and wondered that what had happened to her. He said, I didn't beat anybody, neither I gave anything to carry. So he was thinking, what happened to his wife? What happened to her? She had never before spoken him like this, and he had no idea of what she was talking about. He asked her to explain, and she narrated what had transpired. She said that the boy was still in the house, but when the Brahmana searched for him, he was nowhere to be found. So the boy left. Later on, as he sat to read his Bhagavad Gita, he found that the verse he had crossed out, you remember that word? Yoga kshemam vahamyaham, was crossed out, was again intact. The red ink was gone because he scratched 3 times with the red ink. So that cross out that and again remain intact, the red ink was gone. He started weeping, realizing that the young boy who had come was actually Lord Shri Krishna. Lord Krishna, who had indeed come to his house to fulfill the pledge he made in Bhagavad Gita. What was the pledge? Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. What does that mean? That I will personally carry and deliver the needs of my devotee. I carry what they don't have and I preserve what they have. He made in Bhagavad. Then he carries and delivers the needs of his devotee. The Brahmana lamented that he was not as fortunate as his wife, who had been able to see this Krishna personally, and he condemned himself for doubting the words of Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. That wife was really very fortunate. Isn't it true, Prabhu? Who would like to have a young, beautiful boy in front of you and you don't recognize? Who would like to at least see that beauty? All attractive, all Krishna, our Shyam Sundar. Who would like to have that in front of you? If you chant like this, Krishna is not going to come. Hare Bol! Hare Hare. Very good. That's what Krishna is looking. Krishna is looking your love and devotion. That's what he hanker for. Your love and devotion. Our love and devotion. As mentioned earlier, you know, Krishna's words are non-different from him. His name is also non-different from him. Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva saktis. Tatrar pita niyamita smaranana kalaha. So he has invested all his energy in this holy name. And what is that holy name? Prabhu was chanting very loudly. Everybody, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as mentioned, you know, Krishna's words are not different from him. So the Brahmana striking out the words amounted or to striking Krishna's body. So those 3 scratches, those 3 marks and blood on the boy's chest represented those red ink the Brahmana had crossed out for that verse. So, that is the story about Krishna's words. See, I joined ISKCON in 1975. There is one wonderful Srila Prabhupada disciple in Mumbai, by the way, in Mumbai. His name was Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Swami. He's a jolly Swami. He's no longer with us. He left his body. And his samadhi is in Mayapur. And in those days, you know, it was There were not that many books available at that time, but he gave me one magazine. It's Back to Godhead magazine when I joined in 1975. Due to his mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, I'm speaking to you in front of you. Otherwise, without that mercy, I won't be speaking to you today. And when I came in 1979 here, in this Rukmini Dwargadish temple, you see this altar, wooden altar, the Simhasan, it wasn't there. So when I came here in 79, when during the Sunday feast, Aarti, I desired two things. One is, Krishna, we would like to have a nice altar for you. And the second thing I desired was that I saw that pujari. I saw that pujari who was doing, at that time I saw that pujari, he was doing this aarti. Krishna, when they will be mine, when I can go on the altar and do your service. So Krishna has fulfilled both those desires. So I found out in 79, after a couple of months, my good friend Charudas, he is now in Utah, he ordered this altar. And it came after a couple of years, and then it was installed. And, well, it took me 15 years to go on the altar, but at least I made it. Right? Haribol. So it is Krishna's mercy, and Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and Prabhupada's disciples' mercy. Okay. Alright, so what is the message? Tonight's message was, who got the message? That distribute books. Preaching means distributing Srila Prabhupada books. Buy the book, just one book. Okay? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hari Bol. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada transcendental book distribution ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Hare Bol.